A Husker Dust episode?
Hello, lovely listeners.
Hello.
Welcome to Not Just Tentacles, where my lovely partner Rachel attempts to demystify anime and animation. And I, Ruth, stay mystified about the anime, but not about the animation, because I know my animation. Now, you may be wondering why I'm doing the intro. This is because after watching the episode 4 of Has Been Hotel, Rachel needs a cuddle. And if you do, here, have a virtual cuddle over the airwaves. It's not the airwaves, it's the digital waves, signal, broadband,
whatever
Wi-Fi,
it is,
Bi-Fi,
yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I have to begin the episode with a bit of a trigger warning. So this episode does mention scenes of a sexual nature and particularly of sexual assault. So if that's not good for you, skip this episode and we'll get back onto the next one. Or listen to one of our lovely many episodes throughout.
I mean,
there's nearly 100.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, we've got plenty. Okay.
A ton to choose from, yeah.
Exactly. So this episode of Has Been Hotel, it starts where they're all watching the TV and Angel Dust is showing off one of his previous roles. It's a porno, not a nice porno, you know, like I've come to fix the fridge kind of porno. It is more of along the lines of an interrogation scene.
And everybody's reacting in ways appropriate to their characters. So Sir Pentius is freaking out. Raggy looks appalled. Charlie is really embarrassed. And Nifty is loving it because you know what a little freak Nifty is.
Yeah. I want to Kiki episode at some point. That's the cat.
Yeah, I'm sure she will get
one eventually. Not the bartender cat, the other cat.
Yeah. And speaking of bartender cats, Husk is saying that he doesn't find it a very convincing interrogation scene at all, which
he's calling it fake. And of course he and Angel Dust have a row.
Yeah, because they have a bit of a rivalry going on at this point. And they just don't see eye to eye at all. And while this is happening, Angel gets a call. It's an emergency call from Val, so his owner and boss and sort of lover and abuser. So he just basically wants him to go to the porn studio and film an emergency session. And Charlie, she isn't happy about this.
She wants him to have a day off because they've not finished the trust exercises for the day.
So she decides to go to the porn studio too. So we get there and it's something to do with burglars, isn't it?
Yes, it's sort of like, oh, so many burglars and one little me.
Yeah, and Val is there, as is Travis, who, if you've seen the pilot, you'll remember as being the skeezy guy that was dropping Angel off.
So I really don't remember him.
So he's like this, what is he? Is he an owl? Either way,
whatever he is, he's some weird bird demon thing.
Yeah, and as you can imagine, Angel is horrified when he realises that Charlie is there and he wants her to leave. He doesn't want Val to hurt her. Val is being absolutely vile. And
meanwhile,
slobbering all over her arm. And
first thing Charlie sees is like a naked woman
taking off her bra, yeah.
And she's like, whoa.
And she has a bit of a bi moment. And then, to be fair, she is hot.
And then she looks the other way and sees sort of like a big hairy wolf man being oiled up. And she's like, whoa, this is a lot. So yes, for the bi rep, we like that. But then Valentino's being... Valentino, is that his name? Yes?
Yeah, Val for short.
Val for short. He is being so horrible. He licks her arm, proper Jimmy Savile style, leaving a like red slobber behind.
Ugh, just
like princess.
Vile.
Sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, and saying that maybe she could appear in his movies, but no, and that would
and
make...
And she's like, oh, no.
That would make them both as rich as Lucifer. So she obviously is absolutely icked out by this. And doesn't she accidentally set the place on fire?
Yes, with her cute little hooves, she accidentally pulls a wire and, yes, it wrecks a camera, sets the fire, sets the studio on fire. At which point, Valentino's like, Angel, can I have a word with you?
Marches him into his dressing room and hits him. yells at him.
Does things with a cigar, is it cigarettes or some kind?
He brings out his chains and reminds him that he owns him because he holds up the contract that Angel signed him.
And at this point...
We see his real name, which is Anthony.
Yes, Angel's real name is Anthony. Yeah. And he's saying that you'll get rid of Charlie from the set. And he's so threatening, so pressurizing that Angel just like explodes at Charlie, you know, just tells her that you're not helping. Just
yeah,
go.
Because she obviously gets angry and shows her horns. Oh,
I love it. I love scary Charlie.
Because she'd already, when she was speaking to Vaggie earlier, I forgot to mention this. She and Vaggie had a lovely moment where Vaggie was saying that she should use her power more, she should be more forceful as the Princess of Hell. And Charlie at first was like, oh, that'd be so mean. But now she means it, especially when she sees how absolutely horrendous Valentino is to Angel, saying how dare he treat him like that and so on.
But then after Angel does this, yelled at her, Charlie just cowers and goes off home in tears.
And then...
Oh, my little demonic Disney princess. I love her.
But then they film and...
She reminds me of you.
It is a really good number, but it is intercut with scenes of sexual assault. And people just didn't understand...
Or porn and...
Because they didn't understand that you could have... a scene where you had a song that sounded upbeat but is about topics like this, at which point I want to say, have you never listened to the song All You Wanna Do from Six, which is about Catherine Howard and about how she was treated by various dirty old men until finally she made friends with one who she thought was a mate but then ended up raping her. So it's a similar song that it talks about absolutely horrific things but in a catchy pop songy way. But if you listen to the lyrics and pay attention to, because in the
to be honest, you would not find anything unusual on the Billboard top 100, would you? It's just like normal pop songs.
Because
in the subject matters that it covers,
because in the staging of All You Want to Do, it does have the other women touching her to represent her being touched by all the men. So it is like that. So this kind of thing is nothing new because Angel is a performer and he has to. This is his job. So
this is what he does in order just to feel alive.
I just find this really upsetting, but that shows
it's all right.
That,
come on, I'm cuddling you.
Yeah, that shows that the scene is doing its job, that it is just illustrating the hell of his life.
That's what toxic relationships are like. They keep you hooked in, and as a result, You're slowly dying on the inside.
Well, that he has no choice because Valentino does literally own his soul. So, okay, he finishes and he goes back and has yet another row with Husk. And Angel just...
storms out.
Yeah, and Charlie and Vaggie, they persuade Husk to go after him because he's not getting it at first. But
he's not getting the fact that
they're
Vaggie
hinting
needs to,
he has to do yeah, it. Yeah,
Vaggie needs to comfort Charlie because Charlie is, well, doing what Rachel's doing now.
Yeah, she...
It's okay.
Because I love Charlie, but what she does suffer from is a huge case of overconfidence, like we've mentioned previously.
She thinks she can fix everybody.
I know. She has no experience of people like Val. She thinks that just because she's Princess of Hell, she can put everything right, and she just doesn't understand. She means well, but she just inadvertently ends up fucking everything up. So Husk goes in search of Angel. He's in some skeezy joint with some presumably shark gangsters.
Mafia sharks.
Yeah, and one of them is
lacing his drink.
Yes, and Husk sees this and breaks it, and Angel asks him what the fuck he's doing. Does he beat up, sorry, I don't mean to poke you in my glasses, so he beats up the shark, does he?
Yes, he beats up the sharks. The sharks try and pull guns on him. They fight outside the club, and Angel grabs hold of one of the guns.
Oh, that's kills him. That's later on. That's not at this particular point. So
no, it's the same fight.
No, they have another fight with the sharks later, but they and he and Husk have a lovely conversation where
on the gutter, well, it's sitting in all the piss and shit.
Well, it's not
vomit.
it's not quite lovely like him. Husk explains that he used to be an overlord, so in other words, he used to be in the similar position of
power.
He was
a human.
Yeah, because only sinners can be overlords. They tend to be the most powerful humans that are in hell. But he has a gambling addiction and he ended up having to sell his soul to Alistair, hence why he's stuck working at the hotel, even though he would rather not be, because where Alistair is, he has to be. And Angel at first is just wanting, it's just so sad because he's, Husk is asking him, well, why does he let people do this to him? And he says that he hopes that one of these days he'll be so broken, so fucked up that Valentino won't want him anymore and that he'll finally be free of him. And yeah, so.
It's not how it works, Angel.
I know that. I guess he knows that deep down as well, but he is on a road to self-destruction. And Husk sings a lovely song.
Oh, I love this song. About them being a loser.
About them both being losers. And you had some people going, oh, he's insulting him. He's not. And Angel is enjoying the song and dancing along with it and agreeing like this. He's saying about how Husk says how he is addicted to gambling. Angel says how he's addicted to sex toys and drugs. And it just...
I ain't got no holes left to deflower. It has to be my favourite lyric in there.
Yeah, sure. And it's just all these lovely lyrics that at one point they're dancing against the word loser, and it is just a nice bonding moment. So whether you see them, I mean, it has
trauma bonding.
Oh well, that's not the right phrase for what this
is.
No, it's not.
Oh, sorry.
So whether you see this as either a new friendship or whether you see them as eventually being a couple, as has been strongly implied that they will be, hence why we've called this a Husker Dust episode.
To be fair, I'd rather they were just mates because there's enough relationships all over the place.
No, don't do that. Because you do get people saying, oh, well, there's some Sapphics there and here's some Achilleans there, so why can't people just be friends? But I like these two. I like the idea of two people that have sold their souls falling in love with each other. I mean, it doesn't have to happen straight away, obviously, because we've know that there's going to be three seasons, or at least that's the plan.
I'm happy for them to be just mates at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, see how it develops.
Because when it's all sexual relationships, sometimes you just want mates, and that doesn't matter which direction it's in, whether it's gay, straight, bi, whatever.
We'll agree to disagree. I would like them to be a couple eventually, but obviously not right now, because this is only episode 4.
If it's true love, for a character like Angel Dust, he's going to have to learn to have a relationship that isn't all about, well, you know, every hole's a goal.
I guess. So they have this number, and this is when the shark gangsters come back out. And Husk go all Batmanish?
Yeah, I was thinking Batfink.
Batfink? What's Batfink?
Batfink was a cartoon from like the 1960s where it was a superhero that was a bat that talked like this. Nothing can penetrate my wings of steel.
And I have like, no memory
he would stop.
Of this.
You're going to have to Google Batfink.
Okay, everybody Google Batfink. Was it a ripoff of Batman?
Kind of, yes.
So who did it? Who was in it?
I don't know who their cast was. I just watched it. I was a child. It was the 1980s, but it was made in the 60s.
Anyhow, back to the episode, because I realise we really digressed there.
Watch Batfink. It's good.
Forget about Batfink. So
I could never forget about Batfink.
So Angel and Husk trounce the gangsters. He does his Batfinky thing while Angel... Is it several guns?
He picks up the guns, yes.
And blasts them. And Husk is impressed, and Angel points out that he doesn't really know anything about him, that it's not just sex that he's good at. And then they laugh and kind of go off to the hotel together. So they're happy and laughing and friends. And Charlie, when Angel comes back, she's kind of like, oh, I'm so sorry.
She's been writing a pile of apology letters in purple ink.
And So Angel says it's okay, they're good. And yeah, she's kind of crying over Vaggy, and Vaggy kind of carries her off to bed.
And the reason why she's crying over Vaggy is because Angel forgave her.
Angel is showing some sign of maturity.
And redemption.
Yeah, and just progress for a change. So I guess it's happy crying.
Yeah, it is. It's proper Disney princess happy crying.
See, I really liked, well, I think, obviously I didn't like the serious parts of the episode.
Yeah, we don't like the sexual assault and the horrible, poisonous, narcissistic relationships, but we do like the feel-goods.
Because the thing I love about this show is, while Hell of a Boss is very much the Blitz show, this is an ensemble cast and it focuses on each person in turn. So although obviously the star of this episode was Angel, we learned much more about Husky isn't just the cynical guy in the corner polishing glasses. Not only did we learn his backstory, but we just saw more of him, and we saw how he's a very astute observer.
He's lovely. I love him.
Yeah, because we didn't mention this before, he showed that he's been watching all of them. Like, he points out that Charlie tries to fix everybody else's problems so she doesn't have to concentrate on her own, which is accurate. Vaggy
just judges everybody
because she hates herself. Yeah. I can't remember what he said about Sir Pentius other than him being weird.
Or that he's just like falling to pieces.
And that Nifty, you don't want to know what her deal is, which again is fair. And I guess implies that she has a similar deal with Alistair that he has going on, because
how do you get that from there?
It's because they do have an unusually close relationship, her and Alistair, but he does seem to treat her differently. Like, he's maybe more fond of her.
She's like a bad boy groupie.
Yeah, that is true. Because now that
she is Columbia from Rocky Horror.
Oh my god, I never considered that, but you're right.
She was walking down the street just having a think.
Kind of like a mishmash of her and Magenta. So she's the maid, but she also just loves herself a bad boy. So that is actually a really good comparison.
Oh, I told you, I used to do this criticism thing for a living. I was an academic once, a proper stylistician. Did you not remember? I mean, it was nearly 20 years ago, but
well, I just do it for free on the internet. But I just felt that it was a great way of moving it forward, of establishing everybody's relationships. It isn't just kind of like, I don't know, because previously it was very much like everybody's separate, everybody is an island, but they're
staying your lanes.
But they are all coming together and forming separate relationships with each other, whether it's will be lovers one day or friends. I just really appreciated that, and it showed that however cack-handed she might be at times, Charlie's scheme is working and they are slowly redeeming themselves.
Will they do it before the next purge though?
Well, it's only 6 months away, isn't it?
Well, how fast have we progressed in world?
I am not entirely sure.
It's not clear, is it?
No, it definitely, because it feels like a lot has happened, but I don't think it has gone that far in time, because last episode, Sir Pentius had been in the hotel for a week.
Yes.
So we don't know how long it's been since then.
A week and a bit.
It can be a month, it can be anything. Until somebody says something confirming how long it's been, we just don't have a clue.
I do love Sir Pentius, though. I think he is my favourite character in the whole show.
My Iggy. He is my favourite after Chaggy, yes. I think it is just Chaggy. Because he's unabashedly silly, but knowing Viv,
Stephanie Beatriz makes Vaggy hot.
She's so
good.
And
I like the fact that they're drawing her now that has her facial expressions on.
Yeah, it's very good. They are definitely making it clear that it's that particular actor, because you know the way that Disney films used to draw characters as looking like their voice actor. I mean, I don't know whether that's just...
And they all look like your mum at one point.
Well, that was Eleanor Audley.
Who looked like your mum.
It was Lady Tremaine and Maleficent.
And the Wicked Stepmother.
Yeah, Lady Tremaine, that's what her name is.
No, sorry, not the other Wicked Stepmother. Who's the one in Snow White?
No, that was a different actress. That was years before that.
Was it?
Yeah, because Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty were both in the 50s, well.
Okay, but sort of like the women that look like your mum with the balaclavas.
Yeah, I know. I am descended from Disney villain stock. What are you going to do about it? So, okay.
Well, I know what I want to do.
Anyway, right, so what would we say the score was for this episode?
Ooh, it's tricky. I mean, I don't really want to watch that episode again.
No.
Just because I don't like the place that I'm in mentally or that you're in mentally.
Yeah, actually. So it's necessary.
3.5
It's necessary
five.
For world building. The songs were incredible.
Oh, impeccable songs.
The animation is
impeccable.
Fantastic. But yeah, it is how I felt after X's and O's. It's like seeing, I never thought I would say this about Angel Dust, but now I actually really like him. So it's seeing.
I think it's because he's changed the actor.
Yeah, because I just don't like Michael Kovac. I'm sorry. Well, Blake, considering this is like his first major role, he has nailed it. He is, I can't imagine anybody else in this part. He's marvellous.
Yes.
So,
I mean, I've completely forgotten the old guy.
So it is how I felt seeing Moxie's backstory in X's and O's. You do not want to see a character you love going through this. It's just so
it took
painful.
It took me seeing him go through the trauma to actually feel empathy for him.
No,
I didn't really like him before.
What?
I just thought he was sort of like, originally I just thought Angel Dust was like, oh yeah, generic sleaze.
But you saw that this is why he is the way he is, that he does just put on this kind of cocky, sarcastic front to cover up the fact that he's just so broken and hurt and hates himself, hates the world, everything.
It's like the Zachary Quinto character in The Boys from the Band. Or the, I don't know who played him in the original movie.
Well, but aren't all of them like that in that film?
Well, it's so acid and just to cover being the fact they're miserable.
How horrific it would have been being a gay person in that particular moment in American history. I suppose so. But, So this was just, I thought it was obviously a showcase for Angel, but a brilliant episode for Husk too. So they are.
Oh, I absolutely adore Husk.
Yeah, so that has definitely gone some way to making them among my favourite characters now. So they are both fantastic. So
I'll tell you who my favourite characters are.
Yeah.
And in no particular order.
Yeah.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Baggy?
Yeah.
Serpentious?
Yeah.
The Eggy Wags?
Yeah.
It's all about the Eggy Wags for me. Sorry.
And although he is a complete and utter bastard, I really like Vox as well.
Yes.
And I even like Velvet. She's grown yes. on me too. So
are we going to, just tell me honestly.
Yeah.
Are you shipping Alistair and Vox?
I didn't initially, but when I think about
the pinstripe suit action.
Well, it's not even that. It's just that they're so mutually obsessed with one another.
Why you're so obsessed with me?
Yeah, Alistair comes back after 7 years, and the first thing he does is just do an entire radio broadcast haranguing Vox. So everybody in hell is probably like, have you guys just had a really bad breakup or something? And I love that whole, the TV is buffering. Yeah, it is weird, isn't it?
So Vox was a human too.
They all were. All the overlords are previously human. So they are just.
So what was Camilla then?
Well, she was a human who died. So they all.
Yeah, but what were they in life?
Well, we don't know.
Like, was Vox like a tech baron?
I guess so. I mean, it's unclear. Like, Assumably, that's not even a word.
I'm
coining words now because I'm tired and yeah, this episode was a lot. So it does seem to have kind of snapped my mind somewhat. So
yeah,
okay. Well, I think that's probably everything.
We have taken a few takes.
Oh God, this took down. So many turns to do. It was just
partly because first time we did it, Rach forgot her name.
Yeah. I can't deal with heavy content like this. I mean, remember how I was when we were recording the Ruby episode? I'm just not good with it.
The worst one was X's and O's. I'm still crying at baby Moxie trying to eat his steak.
Yeah. Oh, God. Look. We are really, really just tangenting now. So
I'm trying not to cry. Come on, finish it.
Okay, right. Love you guys.
Love you.
I hope
we'll be
happier next time, because I'm really looking forward to the next couple of episodes, because they're apparently change everything. So much happens in 5 and 6 by all accounts.
Ooh, a secret revelation.
Yep. Big time. About heaven, hell, and everything else in between.
So, let me guess, it's all in Cleethorpes.
Until then, love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter. And on Facebook, our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.